This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are out of series just for today. And today, just in lieu of being Father's Day, and just want to give a shout out to all the amazing fathers, I really wanted to teach a lesson today that I think would help every man in the room. And if it helps every man, then it helps every woman that's connected to that man. Isn't that right? I want to talk from the subject, the kind of men God makes. The kind of men God makes. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter and the 6th verse teaches us that if we would train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from this. And that's the scripture that you have to really hold on to, that the Bible says, if I train up my child in the way that they should go, when they're old, they will not depart. It doesn't even mean they might get, you know, not get off track, you got it, and those kind of things. But even if they got off track, if I raise them the right way, I know that the word of God is an incorruptible seed. I know I'm praying for them, and so they have no choice but to get back on track. Does that make sense? And so that's why the writer teaches us, just train them up in the way that they should go. You have the faith that when they are old, they will not depart. They might get off, but we're going to pull them back in through prayer in Jesus' name. Isn't that right? And so this scripture is a very powerful scripture, and I believe that fathers play a huge role in this verse. I really do. You know, I think that being a dad is awesome. It's one of my favorite things in life, just being a father. I love being a father. It's one of the greatest joys and honors. You know, my kids are kind of getting a little bit older now. Jay is in his second year in the Navy. Time flies, you got it, and he's in Australia, and thank God he's doing extremely well. And then Hannah will be I say that at the 9 o'clock, she'll be a junior next year. No, Hannah has already completed her junior year. She will be a senior next year, and so then after that, she will be off to college. But, you know, I will never forget the days of having tea parties with Hannah and, you know, teaching her how to ride her bike and, you know, playing basketball with Jay. And then when mom was at home, me and him, you know, would get on the top of the couch and we'd fly, you know, and just have fun and wrestle and stuff. Yeah, she doesn't know about all that. Amen. But he's out of the house, so it's okay now. And we've got new couches, so it's all that, those are old couches, right? And so, you know, but that was great. And, you know, I think, you know, that one of the reasons that I was, you know, able to be a good father is because I had a great father in my life, all right? Now, I'm going to get to that in a minute, because all of us didn't, and thank God, God makes up the difference, and he puts people in our lives. Does that make sense? But I don't want to make light of the fact that I did have a good dad in my life, right? And so I think they have a picture of my dad and my siblings. There's my dad right in there in the middle. That's a good place to give him a big hand. Amen. And I thank God for a father who was present in my life. I thank God for a father who was consistent in my life and who really what taught me what life was all about. And so, you know, it's just amazing to have, you know, an awesome dad. And he really taught me how to navigate life. He taught me so many things. And the thing was, I didn't realize all the stuff I really knew until after I left the house. You got it. You find out they're right. Your parents are right. You know, you don't realize that when you're there. You got it. But when you leave, you're like, man, mom and dad were right about a whole lot of stuff, right? But thank God for having an amazing father. Lady LaConte also had an amazing father who was present and consistent. Give him a big hand. Pastor Teller, that's my pastor. Amen. And so we thank God, you know, for having fathers who were present and consistent in our lives. Were they perfect? No, they weren't perfect, but we're not perfect. You got it. And so, but I believe that all of us, even, you know, myself, thank you. I was talking to a JD the other day, and he calls me all the time, and that in itself is just a blessing, you know. And I was telling him, I was like, you know, bud, you were the first one. Hannah came around, said, you know, with you, maybe I didn't dot every I and cross every T. I probably a little harder on you than I needed to be. He's like, well, Dad, listen, I turned out okay, so if you're okay, I'm okay. I said, that's why I love that boy. He's got a great perspective, right? So he's like, hey, man, he's like, I'm not mad about anything. I said, okay, well, then let's just keep moving on in the conversation, you know. But I think it's so important that as fathers that we are present, you got it, and that we are consistent in their lives and to the best of our ability, you know, being the example. And when we're wrong, just tell them you're wrong, you got it, and just apologize and keep moving forward. Can I get up?
All right. Now, I know that we, especially being a Word of Faith church, we know we are not defined by statistics. Isn't that right? But I think it's important that we pay attention to statistics from time to time to get a clear understanding. Some statistics show that when you are raised in a house without a father, you are four times at a greater risk of living in poverty. Like I said, we're not living by these, but we should look at these. When you are raised in a house without a father, you are more likely to commit a crime and go to prison. When you are raised in a house without a father, you are seven times more likely to be pregnant as a teen. Another statistic says when you are raised in a house without a father, you are two times more likely to drop out of high school. And of course, I'm saying this is not something that has to happen in life, but these are just the statistics that they see. And some of you all in this room today and online, and those that are going to watch the replay, grew up without a father in the house, and you defied every one of these odds, and we celebrate you because you did it, right? Because even though maybe you didn't have your natural father, you had your heavenly father who is always with you. And then the wonderful thing I love about God is maybe he put some father figures in your life. Maybe he gave you some mentors along the way. So maybe there's some things I didn't learn as early, but I still learn them because God is a good God. Does that make sense? And so we thank God for that. And then I just want to give a big shout out to all the men in the house who are raising kids in any form and fashion, whether you made them, adopted them, you have absorbed them, maybe you're a mentor, you're a teacher, you're a coach. Shout out to every man in the room who is making, your neighbor, you got it, has a little boy. Just shout out to every man who's making the difference in the life of another child. Amen? And I think that it's important that we understand that, you got it, and it's important that we speak into the lives of men, because today culture is telling us, you know, that masculinity is toxic, which is not true, and that men are the problem in our culture, which is not true. Yep, there are maybe some men that are, have issues, and we're praying for them, you got it, but masculinity is not a problem, because we need strong men. We need strong men in the house, we need strong men in our churches, we need strong men in our communities, we need strong men everywhere you look. You need to be able to see a strong man that's doing his best to be his best every day. Amen? You got it? And that is so, so vitally important, all right? So, brothers, I'm letting you know it's coming ahead of time so you can get ready, all right? I do that on purpose, all right? So I just have a question. Are there any strong men in the house? Yeah, listen at them. Strong men, all right? And so I have a definition for strong men. It's kind of a lengthy definition, so we don't have it up on the screen, but I just want you to kind of hear this. My definition for a strong man is a man who truly embraces responsibility. And I think that at the end of the day, that's where the rubber meets the road, that there is a responsibility that I have, number one, to live for Jesus. You got it? And then because the spring, like the Bible teaches us in Daniel 11 and 32 that the people who do know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. So having a relationship with God is the springboard or a catalyst, as the case may be, you got it, for really being everything that I'm supposed to be in life. And so I have to understand the responsibility that I have as a man. I'll talk about me personally, to live for Jesus, you got it, to set an example, to love my wife, and to make sure that she's the only one I'm loving, praise the Lord, you got it, to be present for my children, and so when they see Dad, they see what love looks like, they see what integrity looks like, they see what good leadership looks like. That is so very important. So it is a man who truly embraces responsibility and loves, honors, protects, and provides for his family. Everybody say loves. And so we have to show our families love and our children love. So we have to demonstrate that. And if you're not careful, men, you're like, which one you want to be? You want to be strong? You want to be soft? Like, what's going on? Now, so there's a place where, especially out in the workplace, you got in society, we have to be a lion. But when you come home, you got to learn how to be the lamb. You understand what I'm saying? And so there's different roles we have to play, because those of us that have, girls, girl dads, we had to learn how to have tea parties. You understand? Big strong man sitting down talking about, yeah, it tastes really good. You understand? But that's part of being a dad, and that's the fun part of being a dad. So we have to understand that we have to embrace responsibility and love and honor and protect and provide for our families. Watch this, while keeping Jesus at the center. And I think that is the key. We have to make sure that we keep Jesus at the center. I always tell people, if you keep Jesus on the boat, you won't sink. Right? So it's real important to keep Jesus on the boat. All right? Let me keep reading. I told you it was a long definition. He lives with integrity. The Bible says that the integrity of the upright, you know, shall guide them. Motivated by conviction. Conviction of what? Conviction of the Word of God. That I'm always going to do what the Word of God says do. Watch this. So motivated by conviction and not comfort or convenience. He is not defined by his physical strength, like the pastor, right? You got it. Why y'all laughing at me? Who's laughing? Cameraman, find out who was laughing. Not defined by his physical strength, but his strength of character. And I think that is, you know, and, you know, thank God for, you know, going to the gym and doing all that kind of thing. But you only do that for a season of your life. You understand? You got it. I believe in going to the gym. I've been on sabbatical for the gym for about 2.5-3 weeks. I think it's about time to get back there. But, you know, but yeah, I took a break. Amen. But yes, physical strength is good, but strength of character is where it really is. I'm here to tell you, strength of character is where it really is as a man. Amen. So we need strong men in our homes today. Can I get a
Amen.
Strong men who love Jesus?
Amen.
Strong men who know Jesus?
Amen.
Strong men who are leading our families to Jesus?
Amen.
Strong men who are serving in the house of God?
Amen.
So we need strong men. See, I don't want to see a man sending his family to church, but I want to see a strong man that is on his way to the car saying, okay, y'all, let's go to church, leading his family to church. And so those are the men that we are believing for, amen? So I want to talk to you. That was all my introduction. Let me get right into the meat of my lesson, all right? And so I want to talk to you about the kind of men that God makes, the kind of men that God makes. 2 Timothy 1:7, we're going to go there. Paul is writing to his son in the gospel, Timothy. And of course, theologians, they break this down in an amazing way, 2 Timothy 1:7. But when I was looking at this, I was like, man, when you look at this scripture, you know, although the scripture ultimately is not gender specific or anything like that, you really look at the scripture and you can see the kind of men God makes in this scripture. The writer says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I say, man, when you really look at that scripture, that's the kind of men that God makes. So I'm going to give you my 4 points all at once, and then we're going to go back through, kind of put a little meat on the bones, and then you can all take your wonderful men out to dinner or wherever you're going to do it, because you're going to treat them just like they treat you for Mother's Day. Praise the Lord. All right. All right. So everybody said number one. Number one, brothers, I did my best, all right? So now if you go home and have to get the grill out, just keep a smile on your face and remember, you are a strong man, all right? All right, number one is a what class? All right, because we're talking about the kind of men that God make, all right? So let's do it again. Number one is what? All right, let's put number two on the screen. Number two is? All right, so a fearless man, a strong man. Let's put number three on the screen. A loving man, all right? And then what's number four? All right, and so those are the ones, and I think you kind of get an understanding of where I got those, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, fearless men, but of power, strong men, and of love, loving men, and of a sound mind, sound men. And so that's what we're going to talk about for these next few minutes. And so let's talk about being a fearless man. A fearless man, the opposite of fear is really faith. You got it? And so I'm talking about having living a life of faith. God, the kind of men God makes are men that are men of faith. They're men that live by the word. They're men that stand by the word. No, we're not perfect, but every day we're going to wake up and we're going to do our absolute best to be our best. We're going to do our best to walk out this word and be the example. We are fearless men. You got it? We're not worried about the enemy. We're not worried about situations. We're going to walk out this word. We're going to trust God. And watch this. And God is going to see us through not some areas, but every area of our life. That's what a fearless man is. A fearless man, you got it, is not afraid to love his wife publicly. Okay, a fearless man is not afraid to publicly say, oh no, I just have one woman and that's all I want and that's all I need and God has given her to me and watch this, I'm gonna love her, you got it? I'm gonna honor her, I'm gonna respect her, and I'm gonna be faithful to her and to her only. Does that make sense? Everybody say fearless men. Yeah, so fearless, so men of faith and men of character, men of integrity. And then I'm putting one and two together because then not only do we want to be fearless, but we have to be strong men. And I believe that, you know, as a father, it's our job to show our children strength. You got it? To teach them to be courageous, to teach them not to walk in fear, but to walk by faith. I think that we need to be there for them in those tough times, let them know, hey, everything's going to be okay. You know, sometimes as a kid, you know, if you're a little bit scared, whether it's at the dentist's office, whether it's late at night and you think the boogeyman is under the bed, if daddy is there, come on somebody, you're not as afraid as you were. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so I think that's important. I remember when Jay was about to head off to the military, and Jay had a lot of options, which, you know, most kids do, even though sometimes they don't think they do. Kids are smarter than they think they are, and you need to teach your kids that. You got it. They can do all things through Christ who strengthened them. And I told Jay, Jay, you can do anything you want. He thought about college. He's like, nah, I don't really want to go to college. You know, he's like, Dad, I don't want to waste your money, you know, me going to college and not going to class. I said, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'd rather have him be honest. And it wasn't that. Jay was a smart kid. The funny thing about this kid is he doesn't study and make B's. He doesn't study and make A's. And I told him, son, imagine if you really studied. You got it. And then he was going to go to Bible school. He said, that's what I'm going to do. Man, I was excited. I was like, okay, praise the Lord. You got it. The next senior pastor of WLCC is in the making, right? And then he says, no, Dad, you know, I think I want to go to the Navy. I said, well, that's a good choice too, because I went to the Marine Corps. I did 4 years, and I felt like, you know, that really grew me up, and it taught me a responsibility. It taught me accountability. And there's a lot of things that I learned. You got it. And there were some things that, you know, they just rehearsed that my father had already told me, but I thought he was old and didn't know what he's talking about. And then I finally get to, you know, into the real world and say, man, my dad knew all of that stuff, right? You know, and so moral of the story, listen to your parents, praise the Lord, all right? And so, but I remember about a week or so before he was about to go, we were just walking through the house, and he was sitting there at the table, and he says, hey, Dad. And I thought he was just going to ask me something real simple, and, you know, I'm kind of moving. I said, hey, what's up, bud? He said, you think I can do it? I didn't know what he was talking about. I said, what are you even talking about? He said, boot camp. So I could tell it had been weighing on him. You got it? It had been weighing on him. And immediately, I was like, oh, yeah, man. And I started talking to him, and, you know, and I was talking him up and building confidence. Man, you have done this and this, and, man, you already know how to run and this. And I said, remember what I taught you. You got it? You know, when you first get there, it's going to be chaos. Just go with the chaos. You got it? Part of it is a game. Play the game. You got it? Part of it is physical. You're going to be good with the physical. Part of it is education. Learn the education so you can do good on the test. Like, I'm teaching him everything. And I'm like, I'm telling you, man, I already been there. You're going to be good. And it built the confidence that he needed. Does that make sense? I remember, you know, it's a funny thing when your child goes off the boot camp and you don't hear from them for 4, 5, 6 weeks, and then we finally get the phone call, you know, and we're like, we just, you know, hello, and I don't even want to talk. I just want to let him talk and make sure he's good, you know. And so the first thing he says, you know, after not hearing from him for 6 weeks, I'm praying, confessing the word over him, you know, have my phone with me even when I'm preaching up here. You got it? and then I hear him say, what's up, old man? I'm like, oh, that boy is fine. Ain't nothing wrong with that, boy. I've been losing sleep. You're fine. And he doesn't even call me old man. You got it? And so, but watch this. But because I set the example before he left, you got it? And I asked him, I said, well, Jay, how's it going? He said, Dad, it's just like you told me. You got it? And so, you know, but on that day when, you know, on that day when he was about to leave, as you can imagine, that's a very emotional time. You got it? If your kids have not yet left, you know, number one, enjoy them, but just wait. You got it? Because even though you think you understand, you don't understand until you have kids that actually leave the house. For all those who know what I'm talking about, can I get an amen? Right? Yeah. And so it's a very emotional thing, you got it? And, of course, I knew that I couldn't be falling apart crying, you understand? Because Lady had already started crying 2 or 3 days ahead of time, all right? I mean, Jay leaves on Friday, Tuesday she walking out, you know? I'm like, well, is something wrong? He's leaving in 3 days. I was like, oh, babe, you know? And so, and I could, even though he kept himself together, he did real good, but I could tell he was trying to figure things out. He's about to go somewhere he's never been, you know, and all those kind of things. And so, you know, and so for me, you got it, I made myself keep myself together, you got it, because I understood in this, he was already second guessing himself, so he needed to see strength. He needed to see a father that said, man, my boy's going to go out there, he's going to make it happen. He needed to have a father who was fearless in that moment. He needed to have a father who was strong, watch this, so I could be strong for him, so he knew that he could go and do it. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so that's, you know, so that's how I was on the outside. You got it? On the inside, I was, oh, Lord, my boy is low and gone. He's already, what's going on? You know, but I had to keep it together, you know? You know, Jesus, just be with him. Jesus, please be with him. Because, Lord, if anybody do anything to him, I'm coming for him, Jesus. I'm going to find out who they are, you know? But thank God, watch this, even when we're not with our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, God has given his angels charge over them to keep them in all their ways, and we declare in their pathway is life and not death in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. And so Joshua 1 and 9, it says, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What is happening here? Moses dies, and Joshua comes up on the scene, and look at how our Heavenly Father, you got it, helps Joshua get from where he is to where he needs to be. God instructs Joshua to be strong and very courageous, and if he does this, he's going to make it. If he does it, he's going to be successful. If he does it, he's going to be okay. And I believe, fathers, it's our job to show our children, you got it, you know, strength. I think it's our job to teach them there's no boogeyman in the closet at night. Isn't that right? I think it's our job to tell them to get up and keep going when they fall on the bike and scrape themselves instead of running over and baby them, because we're teaching them strength. You got it. I think it's our job to teach them to keep their head up high regardless of what's going on at school. And even if somebody has bullied them, we just have to remind them of who they are, that you are fearfully and that you are wonderfully made, that you belong to God. Don't listen to that other stuff. You are who the Word says you are. You got it. I believe it's our job to teach them that they are king's kids and that they're fearfully and that they're wonderfully made, that our kids are kings and queens. I think it's our job to speak up with confidence and to make sure we teach them to do the same. You know, I taught Jay, whenever you go, you know, and you shake a man's hand, you shake his hand firmly and you look in his eyes. You got it? You know, and it doesn't mean it's not a disrespectful thing, but you have to know that you have to have a level of confidence too, you know. And so I believe that it is our job to teach them to have courage regardless of what they're going through. I just believe that that's what it is. And so fearless men and strong men. All right. All right. Number three. Everybody say number three. Loving men, loving men. So while our children need us to show them strength, they also need to see the gentle and loving side of their fathers so they can understand balance in relationships. Does that make sense? Yeah. So because I really believe that if I love my son, you got it, and show my son love, then and show my daughter love, show my children love, they're going to show their children love. Does that make sense? Yeah, I believe that if my kids, you got it, if they see how much I love their mom, you got it, and I'm affectionate toward their mom. You know, I remember my father being like that. My father would go and grab my mom and tell me and Joe, boys, now this is how you love a woman, you understand? Now, we didn't want to see that. You got it. You know, but my dad was bigger than me, so I didn't say anything. You got it. You know, but you know, we didn't want to see it. Oh, Dad, you know, but the funny thing is I did the same things with my kids. You know, now my kids are a little bit bolder than I was with my dad because, you know, my kids, I'm like, get a room. I'm like, get a room. Listen, homegirl, this whole house is mine. You understand? You go get a room. No. But I believe that it's important because now Jay, watch this, when he does get married, you got it, then you know, he's going to know how to properly love his wife. Watch this, not just from the example that his father gave him, but the example came from the Word of God. Does that make sense? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself a ransom. So, I mean, that's a big responsibility. You got it? Because I love Hannah. You got it? And I've always spoken to her life. If you look at my phone, when Hannah calls me on my phone, it says pretty girl. Why? Because that's my name for her, pretty girl. You got it? I've always told her she was smart. She was intelligent. She was beautiful. She was pretty. And she is all those things. You got it? But my thing is now she knows that. So she doesn't need to run to another man. You got it? for anybody to try to tell her that. She already knows who she is. So now she knows how to love herself. You got it? You know, and so Mama Beck was talking to me a few minutes ago, and she reminded me she was here a few years ago. And my rule was Hannah could not get married till she's 120. You got it? Now, we didn't have the chance to really conversate. I have actually lowered that to 90 now. I mean, I'm working on it. You got it? You know, Lady LaConte tells me I need to get a grip. I'm not ready for any of that yet. Yeah, you know, and so there were five colleges that we took her to that she could go, you know, and she's going to say, I'm going to apply for all five. After going to all five, she's now only allowed to apply to four because there was one where boys were talking to her the entire time I was there in front of me. I mean, we just walk on campus, and the boy's just checking Hannah out. And then he looks at me. I'm okay, because I understand girls are pretty. That's no problem. You know, boys should like girls. So, I mean, all that's good, right? But I figured once they saw the dad, you know, when we grew up, guys, you know, if we saw a pretty girl, we would be looking at her. But when we realized her dad was there, we're like, oh, okay, it's time to be respectful. Am I right? Like, it's time to, you know. Well, this guy looks at Hannah, and then he looks at me. So I'm figuring, okay, cool. And I was nice. I was like, you know, how you doing? And then he looks back at Hannah. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I wanted my wife to go say, he's a Marine, you understand? You know, born to fight, trained to kill, ready to die, but never will. I'm just playing. You know, so I told Hannah, you can go to all them other colleges. You can't go to that one. Praise the Lord. A child needs a father's attention. A child needs a father's unconditional love. A child needs a father's understanding heart. And a child needs a father's never-ending grace so that they know no matter how bad I mess up, I can always go back to my father and he'll be right there to accept me with loving arms. Why? Because it kind of sounds like how our Heavenly Father is with us. Does that make sense? Amen. Okay, Maestro. So I think I've really done good. Part of our job is to also teach them kindness, compassion, and humility. Everybody say kindness, compassion, and humility. Too many parents are good at modeling always going off on somebody, and then your kids see you always going off on somebody. And really, if you're always going off on somebody, that just means you got to get your emotions intact. That means you got to allow the fruit of the Spirit to be in operation in your life. Because most of the time, 99% of the time, there's really no reason just to always be going off on somebody. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And so that's the kind of man God makes, a fearless man, a strong man, a loving man. And here's my last one as I close, a sound man. You got it? Or he's looking for sound. He makes sound men. And there were so many places in the Bible, you know, I was like, I could talk about this guy, or I could talk about David because he made mistakes. And even after he made mistakes, he was a man after God's own heart. Or, you know, I could talk about Samson, you know, and try to bring it around, you know, but I knew that I'd be a minute and 12 seconds before my clock was out. So I said, why not just go and go to the scripture who says it the best, Matthew 6:33. But if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto you. And so in other words, if you want to be a fearless man, a strong man, a loving man, and a sound man, you've got to seek first the ways of God. I always say if you do it God's way, what's going to happen? You're going to get God results, right? So if you seek first the kingdom, and the kingdom of God is God's way and his righteousness to be in right standing with God. So my thing is, if I seek out God's way, if I seek out God's word, and I make a commitment that I'm going to do my best to be my best, to be committed to God and to be committed to my family, guess what? I might not do everything right, but I'm going to do a whole lot right. I might make a few mistakes along the way in fatherhood, but watch this. But like Jay, he said, hey, Dad, the end result is good. I turned out fine, right? And that is the key, that no matter what it looks like, that no matter what happens, that you don't start beating yourself up. Let me talk to the dads for a minute, and we're going to pray, and I'm going to let you go. But don't start beating yourself up, and I wish I would have done this, and I wish I had. You did the best you could with the revelation you had at that moment. And you have to leave it at that because, watch this, because God is still perfect in all of his ways. And Romans 8:28 is still true. It says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Maybe you're in the room and maybe your father was never present. You got it? Man, you got to forgive. You have no idea exactly what was going on. Or you're letting them off the hook. No. I'm just saying we got to do what the Bible teaches us to do. Or maybe your father was present, but he wasn't perfect. Well, guess what? None of us are perfect. So for you to hang that over his head and judge him for years, and that's really unfair. Because we all do what we, watch this, do what we can with what we've got. If you were on a fixed income and you only had $50 to go and buy three meals at the local grocery store, could you do it? Could you do it? Now I'm really talking to my ladies, right? Yeah, I'm not talking to you dads right now. Right, because spaghetti's cheap. You got it. So you could get some ground beef. You can do a few different things. Why? You're going to take the $50 and you're going to do what you can with what you got. And that's the same thing that all of our fathers have done. They did what they could with what they got. And so thank God for everything that they did, and then how your heavenly Father wrapped his arms around all of y'all to make sure you are where you are and you ended up being what you ended up being. So that's why we can't hold bitterness. That's why we can't hold unforgetting. You have to let all that go and say, man, you know, after 8 years old, my mom wasn't in my life anymore. You got it, my biological mom. But I'm not mad at my mom. You understand? Yeah, when I was young, there was times I was angry and those kind of things. But I said, I love my mom. Well, do you talk to her? No, she's in heaven. You got it? So I know I'm going to see her again one day. But I'm not mad, because the enemy would say, well, why did she have to leave you when you were 8? Why did she abuse you? Man, forget all that. You got to let it go. Everybody say, let it go. Man, just let it go. Watch this. And let God heal you so you can move on with the rest of your life. So watch this. So you can be the difference maker in your family from this point forward. I'm out of time. Give the Lord a hand. Praise in the house. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for your word. We know it's not void of power, and it'll accomplish all those things that you have set it out to do. And you may notice a few people are moving. Those are leaders that have to go and get in certain spots. But if everyone else can just please remain seated. I'm only going to be with you another 2 or 3 minutes, and then I'll let everyone go. But I'm talking to those that are in the room. And maybe to those that are online, maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10:9, if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is that you have to just believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you, and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing just to repent of all your sins, you got it, and then ask Jesus into your life and make the commitment that I'm going to start living for him. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ, he's a new creature, that old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So maybe you need to get saved. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. I want you to know God's not mad at you. He's not upset with you. He loves you so very much, and he's knocking on the door of your heart. You haven't messed up too much for God. Maybe you messed up too much for people, but you haven't messed up too much for God. Maybe you're a Christian in the room or online. And if you close your eyes here on this earth today, you know you'd open your eyes in heaven. But maybe you're like, hey, you know, I need to get some things right with God. Maybe I haven't had the best attitude, or maybe I treated this person wrong. Well, the Bible teaches us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what happens is repentance doesn't put you at the back of the line. It just puts you back in line. It just puts you in a place where, you know, where you're back in right standing with God. And so for any of our appeals, and we're about to pray, So for any of our appeals, I need you to use that connection card that we talked about. If you're going to give your life to Jesus, fill that connection card out. If you're going to rededicate your life to Jesus, I need you to fill that connection card out. If you want to join this amazing church, well, what are the steps? It's real simple. Just start by filling that connection card out, and we'll get you the rest of the information. And so I want to do this in the room and online. I want you to pray this prayer if you need to get saved, if you need to rededicate your life, or if you're a Christian that needs to repent. I'm going to take it even further. I'm just going to ask everyone to repeat this prayer after me, because even if you don't need to pray it, it's going to help the person around you that might need to pray it. So let's pray it together. Everyone repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God.
I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big praise in the house?